What's up, No Nation? This is the guys from Plant the Spear. We're back with you to preview Florida State's next game as they head up north to take on the Pittsburgh Panthers. And this was the game preseason that everybody had circled on the calendar. This is the trap of all trap games. It could be cold weather. Pitt's always a team that's known to do well, especially late in the season.
Yep.
But, Michael, things have just come unraveled so fast for Pitt. They are absolutely having just one of the worst years imaginable. I mean, they are 2-6 on the season. Their coach just basically told all their players that they suck.
Correct.
It's going to be an interesting Saturday after they're coming off a just absolute dismantling by Notre Dame. But again, Florida State has to win every game on their schedule. We just talked about that in a playoff reaction show. So every game is important, and you got to come into this one treating it like it is the, you know, the national championship. So, Michael, thank you for joining me, my friend. How are you today?
I'm doing all right, Jesse. Just super excited for the season, super excited for the team to once again get on the road and prove that they are one of the best four teams in the country.
Right. And, you know, last time we went up north, things were a little struggle fest there. So you're hoping to avoid that at this point in time. I mean, you are a 21.5 point favorite.
Yep.
But it's been a little tricky because Pitt is one of the very few ACC teams. Now, they joined late, I believe it's 2013 or 2014, the year Florida State won the national championship. So they have not, you haven't played them as an ACC team a lot, but they're one of the few teams that do own the series record on you. They are 6-4 all time against Florida State, and FSU is 2-3 all time at Pitt. Now that goes way back to the 70s, but you know, last time they played at Pitt, that was obviously Jameis's coming out party for
Heisman
and the national championship. So we're hoping to see another one like that. But yeah, man, I mean, this is a game where you see them get destroyed by Notre Dame last week. Right. And now that the playoff committee rankings are out, we start talking about style points. We start talking about resumes. And these are things that really start to come into the conversation when you get into these November rankings. And so I think seeing them get destroyed like that, Florida State needs to come in and win like they should. You can't have another Boston College game because that was something that was brought up with the playoff committee. So this is one you want to go up there and you want to handle your business. And, you know, like we talked about before, this is going to be a really interesting Saturday for Pitt in general. Like, how do they come out? How do they respond after last week getting beat like they did and having their coach call out some of their players? We said that we thought this would either be one of two situations. One, they're just going to quit because they're not happy with the coach that made it through social media. We saw multiple players talking about it on Twitter. Or in typical Florida State fashion, they're going to like
play the best game of their life
around. They're going to circle the wagons and they're really going to come out inspired after this one. So we'll see. Yeah. We'll see who shows up on Saturday for Pitt. So give me some of your overall thoughts about about what you think about this game.
Yeah. I mean, you know, again, like you said, this is the, you know, if last week was a trap game, this is the ultimate trap game because, you know, no one's expecting Pitt to show up and play a game. Everyone's thinking like, they've quit. The coach has already thrown them under the bus. Those players are done. They're just looking forward to either transferring or getting out of there or next season. It's a lost season on Pitt. And so it could be easy for Florida State to be like, you know, we're going to go up there and we're just by showing up, we're already put 21 points on the board. Right. And that would be a mistake because the one thing we know about Pitt is that Pat Narduzzi is the coach there. And them boys have always been tough. They're always hard to beat. I mean, back in 2013, when we beat Pitt at Pitt, that was Paul Chris. He was the head coach there. You know, he went on to coach at Wisconsin, but that was a different team. This is this Pitt team plays tough. Their defense is tough. You know, Pat Narduzzi is known for their defense. Yes. Notre Dame put up 58 points against them, but again, one or two things could happen after this whole throwing your players under the bus is either they come out flat and we just destroy them, which is what I would love for us to do, or they come out and they literally play the best game of their life. Now, what I'm hoping is they got that best game of their life out against Louisville.
Right.
And so they don't have any left. But you know, let's just come out. Let's be dominant. Let's be focused. Let's put this game away regardless of the weather. Mike Norvell said that in his press conference today that, you know, teams that get distracted or teams that think about the weather get distracted. And so, you know, that's just a distraction. Like, it's football, man. Let's play.
Right. And I will say that I saw some practice footage that it was relatively cold in Tallahassee.
That's
you saw some of the players kind of shivering a little bit. So hopefully Mike makes some practice outside a little bit. I mean, I'm going to be honest, where I live here towards Charlotte, it's was 40 degrees when I got up this morning. I went to let my dog out this morning. And I was like, oh my gosh, where did this come from? So, you know, again, like I always say, winter made it back before Miami did. So, you know, it's just, you know, any chance we'll get to take a dig at my, that's why I'm so excited for next week, but we're not, it's just going to be Trash Talk Central, but we're not there yet. So,
yeah.
But I do think you bring up a good point, because Pitt is a team, you know, they were one of the ones that upset Clemson back in the day during their runs, which to me is still the funniest upset ever, because the kicker who beat them, his last name was Blewett. So it was like you were hoping that he didn't live up to his last name, and they beat them. Then you see, like, to me, Pitt has the two craziest, most not understandable wins of the season. Their first win was against an 0-8 FCS team. Their second win is against the number 13 ranked team in the country. You can't get more polar opposite than that, but does show you, as bad as they are,
right,
there's something in there. There's something in there that led them to win against a very good Louisville team. So, like you said, you have to treat them like a real game. You can't come in and treat them like a 2-6 opponent. You have to, you know, every week your playoff hopes are on the line. So you really have to show up and handle your business here. And like you said, I mean, they're always known for a good defense. Their defense is not terrible this year. Their offense is just, it's abysmal. And that has a lot to do with it. So we'll get into offense and defense, but let's start with some team stats here. So I did notice one thing when I was looking at the strength of schedule. Pitt hasn't really had a very easy road. Now, Florida State comes in at 10th on your strength of schedule, and Pitt is at 22nd. So they played a pretty tough schedule. Now, when you talk about advanced metrics, so as a team rating, they are 68th in the country. Offense, oh man, it's rough, 93rd. So it is pretty terrible. And their defensive advanced metric ranking is 40. So, you know, like you said, decent, kind of middle of the pack there, upper third. And then this is another thing that stood out too. Their special teams ranking is down at 93rd. So that could be an advantage for FSU as well. They're -2 in the turnover margin, which is 86. But when you talk about that offense, this has really been what has held them back so far. And I think before we get into offense and defense, one thing that I noticed when I did the preseason preview, if you guys read the preseason opponent previews in the magazine that we put out, you would remember that Pitt, like, they were absolutely gutted on this roster. They lost their best running back, their best quarterback, their best receiver, their best defensive lineman, their best, like, their best everything. They lost everything. So, like, we knew it was going to be a tough year, but they had some veteran pieces to rebuild around. It's just, I guess, the talent level. You know, maybe Narduzzi wasn't wrong with what he said. You just don't say that to your players.
Just don't say it out loud.
Right. Like, he wasn't necessarily wrong. And, you know, when you talk about the offense, really, that starts with they brought in Phil Dracovic, who was working with his old offensive coordinator at Boston College. And you guys, if you've listened to the show for any amount of time, I have been the head of the Phil Dracovic sucks bandwagon for since way back when. I just don't think he's any good. He's 6'5". Yeah. He's got the tools. All that's there. He's just never been good in really a game situation. He has since been benched. They brought him in to kind of revive, to stabilize the ship with that, with the Pitt team. And that's something I even said in the preseason. I don't think this is a difference maker. I think he's a ship stabilizer, and he's since been benched, and their backup has kind of been almost worse than Dracovic has. So really, quarterback is what stems back to their biggest problem. Now, when you talk about just the offense in general, scoring offense, and I will say before we get into some stats to one of our subscribers, to those of you who listen on YouTube versus the podcast, they requested that we start getting the stats back on the screen. I'm going to work on that for you guys. I just didn't have time this week, so that will be coming back soon. But looking at their scoring offense, 22.4 points per game, 101st in the country. Passing offense, 208 yards a game, 91st in the country. Rushing offense, not much better, 104 yards a game, 117th in the country. Third down offense, 106. So it's pretty bad. Now, the one thing they are good at, and it's kind of a loaded stat, is their red zone offense. They score on 93.8% of attempts, which is tied for 13th, but they're also 132nd in red zone attempts. So they don't make it there often, but when they do, they're pretty decent at it. Sacks allowed are 65th at around 2 per game, and explosive plays of 20-plus yards are tied at 71st. So, Michael, this offense is just bad. It's bad all the way around. It's bad. You would think Florida State's defense should have a really good day against them. Even the Pitt game where they put up 38 points, some of that came off a pick six. But how do you see this offense, Pitt offense, Florida State defense battle going here?
Well, I mean, it should tell you like this. Louisville had 400 and 30 yards of offense. Pitt had 288 yards of offense. So it's like, wait, how in the world did Pitt win that game? How did Pitt win that game when they're not even scoring, when they're not even moving the ball well? Well, it's they won it like this. Louisville went into halftime up 21-14, right? Pitt came out the second half and held them scoreless and scored 24 unanswered points. But when you look at their drive chart, when you look at their drive chart in the second half, okay, Louisville had four plays and turned it over on downs. Then Pitt went only 6 yards because where Louisville went for it on their side of the field, Pitt was able to go three plays and then only gained 6 yards on those three plays and kicked a field goal. So now it's 21-17. Then Louisville punted again. They only had 3 plays. Then Pitt had a 13-play, 61 drive. So they actually drove the field, got a touchdown. Then Pitt scored on an interception, returned it for an interception. So now it's 31-21. Then Louisville turned it over again on another interception. Pitt didn't score on that. Then Louisville missed a field goal. Pitt had a punt. Louisville turned it over on downs. Pitt had a punt. Louisville turned it on downs. And because they turned it on downs on their side of the field, Pitt was able to go in and score a touchdown. So let's just say, again, now the weather condition was terrible. You know, all the different factors that played in the game. Louisville played their worst game of the season in that game.
Yep.
And Pitt took advantage of it. But I think if Florida State's offense plays to its capability, let's say it plays its – we talked about this in the Wake preview. Let's say Florida State plays its B-plus game. That would require Pitt to play its A++ and God come down from heaven game to win.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like their defense is okay. But I would say that Wake's defense is better than Pitt's defense. And you saw what Florida State did to Wake.
Right, and I think that's the interesting thing here. Like we talked about last week, and we usually do this on all of our previews, how does the opponent win the game? And last week we said with Wake Forest, you needed some help. You needed turnovers. You needed penalties. You needed all these things to go in your direction to have a chance to beat FSU. And that's really that's what we saw against Louisville. And so when, you know, anytime you have 3 turnovers and a pick six and you miss field goals and all that type of stuff, you're opening yourself up for the upset. So Florida State really just has to play a clean game. Like you said, maybe you don't need to bring your A game this week, but you don't need to make all those mistakes that let them back in it. And I think you're going to have some opportunities, especially when you talk about that Notre Dame game last week where the quarterback, Velar, and we've established that it is Velar because let me tell you what, how it is spelled and how it is pronounced is nowhere even remotely close. But, like, he had 4 interceptions in that game. So Florida State, we know their pass defense has been really good this season. It is one of the best pass defenses in the country. So you're hoping that they can have another dominating day. Now, again, Pitt has not really run the ball well either, which is what we talked about when they have the 117th ranked rushing offense.
Right.
Even against some of the bad defense, I mean, against Virginia Tech, who has one of the worst rushing defenses in college football, and that was Florida State's get-right game on the ground.
Yeah.
They only averaged 1.6 yards per carry and 38 yards on the ground. So Florida State, you know, when you talk about this offense by Pitt, I just think it's going to be a struggle fest for their offense all day long. And I think Florida State's defense should be able to handle them.
Yeah,
it's just, you know, you're going to have to score on them. You're going to have to score on that defense, which I think they will be able to. I think they're going to hit that 30-point mark. But, man, it's really hard. I mean, like, you try and look at how each team can get into it. But the only thing I will say is when you look at that Velar, he did have a couple games. I think he threw for over 300 on Wake Forest. So, like, he's a little bit better than Dracovic was. But, I mean, when you look at it, Dracovic had a 50.9% completion percentage, 818 yards. And this is what I found interesting, too. They're pretty comparable here. So Dracovic threw the ball 112 times for them. Velar threw 127. So we're pretty even here. One had a 50.9% completion percentage. One had 52. One had 818 yards, 7.3 yards per attempt. One has 774, 6.1. One had 6 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. One has 5 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. So you went from terrible to pretty also terrible.
Right.
And it's not like when we talked about Virginia Tech, where they brought in Kyron Jones, who was a less experienced guy, but he had a run threat and all that. Right now, Velar is averaging 1.4 yards per carry. So you don't have a run threat from him either. Correct. Now, he doesn't get sacked as much as Dracovic did, but it's just, it's kind of bad news all around for this offense.
Well, yeah. And it, Bo Flemingster, I mean, he's averaging 4 yards a carry, but he's only got 306 yards, 76 carries on the season. Hammond Jr., that's probably the one running back that I saw most flashed in the Louisville game. Yeah. 66 carries for 278 yards, 4.2 yards a carry, and then Carter, but he's only ran 23 times. So they don't have a dynamic run game. They're only averaging, like you said, 3.4 yards a carry. They're wide receiver. They're not getting the balls to their playmakers. So if Florida State defense shows up and plays a good game, communicates well, because you know Pitt's going to come out with some crazy trick formation, something where they're going to, you know, roll to the right, throw back to the left, you know, a little wheel route like LSU did, like Boston College did, like a whole bunch of teams tried to or did and accomplished. You know they're going to come out with something, so you need to be prepared for that. But what I would say is, you know, after that first initial drive, Florida State will be able to kind of see where Pitt's trying to attack them at. Florida State should, I don't want to like jinx it or anything, but Florida State should be able to play their base defense against that offense and be pretty successful. I mean, that's what they did against Wake. They didn't do anything really complicated against Wake Forest because I think they knew, they saw, they could tell very clearly like, okay, if we play our game, we should dominate Wake. I think the same thing is true here. If we play our base defense, that 4-2-6, you know, we blitz when we need to, but we play our corners up, attack those wide receivers, force them to try to run the ball. Our front four, front seven, we'll take care of that. We should get out of there and this is not now, of course, every day, every time I say this, this is a win's a win's a win. So never forget that. But this is not just a win to win to win. This is a we have to dominate, because now that we know what the playoff committee thinks about us, we want to make sure they don't ever forget, because Washington plays, just as a side note, Washington plays USC this weekend. Now, USC is terrible defensively, but they are still ranked.
Yep.
And I imagine that the committee will give them some credit if they beat USC. So we have to dominate Pitt. Yep. I mean, win. Let's get the win.
Right,
first.
Right. But you'd like to at least cover the spread, which is 21 and a half. I mean, you just can't have another Boston College-esque game when you're competing for that last spot. Right. And I will say, as far as the defense goes, like we've mentioned that they've done really well against the pass. And a lot of the pushback that I've gotten on social media with that is more like, okay, well, they haven't played anybody great. And that's true when you talk about passing offenses. But when you look at the numbers, like Garrett Trader's completion percentage took a huge dip. Kyron Jones threw for 100 yards and then went on to throw for like 300 the next game. So they have shut down those bad passing offenses. Correct. And we know in the past, Florida State's pass defense has made average guys look like Heisman contenders.
Yep.
And so when you take a passing offense that's pretty bad, and Florida State has been really good against that, and then you look at a run game for Pitt that averaged 4.8 yards per carry against an 0-8 FCS team, 2.9 yards per carry against Cincinnati, who's 2-6, 3.6, 4.0, 1.6, and 2.7, 3.5, and 2.8 yards per carry. They have not averaged over 5 yards per carry this entire season. So you feel good about shutting down that run game too. So
absolutely,
I think really the next thing you want to focus on is if Florida State can go in and take on this defense, who's not – you've obviously faced better defenses in Clemson, because as bad as Clemson look, in advanced rankings, their defense is still 10th. But this will be one of the better defenses that you're going to face, even though they're not super great. So we'll talk into that too, because the defense is really kind of how they won that Louisville game. That's really what stepped up for them. Now, before we get into the defense, I just real quick want to bring you a word from today's sponsor for this episode. It is Alumni Hall FSU.
Yes.
They have all the FSU gear that you want.
Love stickers,
hats, shirts, cups, everything you need to get right for game day. And you can get it at a great price, 10% off using code SPEAR. Shop online or in-store, 1817 Thomasville Road. You know, you're going to want to get you some new stuff for that Miami game, because, man, that's going to be a primetime event, our next home game. So stop by and check those guys out. Tell them we sent you. Get 10% off of code SPEAR or shop online. We'll link it below for you guys. So now, Michael, talking about this defense, we know this is what has always been Pitt's strength. Like you said, Narduzzi he's a former Broyles Award winner for being a defensive coordinator at Michigan State. But when you talk about this defense, their scoring defense has been pretty bad now. 50 yep. or they're tied for 94th at 28.8 points per game, but pretty much about everywhere else, they've been middle of the pack. 55th yep. in passing defense, 51st in rushing defense, 49th in third down, tied for 66th in red zone, 23rd in sacks, 56 explosive plays. So they're kind of a middle of the pack defense. They've done okay, but you're also talking about having to now face Florida State's offense, which again, like we've talked about in almost every game so far. Now they did play UNC and well, they put up 41 points on them.
Correct.
Which is the same thing that we said, you know, with the previous team that had played UNC as the only good offense you played.
Correct.
And you followed a similar metric there. So the one good offense they played put up 41 points on you.
Yep.
Virginia Tech, who has a offense that's getting better, but not great, put up 38 points on you.
Yep.
So now you're going to face the toughest offense you've played all season. And I feel good about Florida State getting over 30 points in this game, again, for the 15th straight game.
Yes, would love to keep that record going. Yeah, I do too. I agree with you. I think, you know, North Carolina is an explosive offense, but they've proven that they can be, you know, beaten and shut and somewhat shut down. You know, Florida State has not, that has not happened yet. Florida State, knock on every wood that you can find right now.
Right.
And so I expect Florida State's offense to go in there. I expect Jordan Travis to, again, use his legs early in the game as a weapon to make sure they fear it. And Pitt plays a lot of man coverage. And this is where I think the road meets the rubber, as they say. Because teams understand now that if you play man coverage, Jordan Travis is likely going to try to do one of two things. He's either going to be smart enough to run, or he's going to try to hit the deep balls, right? Wake tried it early, and Florida State was able actually to connect on more than their fair share of deep balls in that game. One to Keon to Portier, and then another one to Jaheim Bell one to Keon Coleman. And so they're going to take those shots. And I think this is where Pitt will try to get Florida State. They'll try to play man across. They'll try to bait Florida State into those deep balls, those low percentage throws to see that. And so Florida State, Jordan Travis, take what the defense gives you. Man, if there's a lane to go, go. Slide, make sure you get down. Take the underneath routes. And when the coverage dictates for you to go deep, when it is there, you have a one-on-one you love. Yeah, absolutely. Let's take that. But we already know that the weather is likely going to be bad. And so those deep shots are going to be few and far between possible to complete. Now, watch Florida State go out and hit like probably eight of them. That'd
right.
be awesome. That'd be amazing. Right. But let's take what the defense gives. Pitt allowed Louisville to go up and down the field. They allowed North Carolina to go up and down the field. They allowed Virginia Tech to go up and down the field. Pitt had the game won against Wake, and they allowed Wake to go up and down the field to get back in that game and eventually win it. They allowed actually the worst offense they played, I would say, of the ranked teams in Notre Dame to score 58 points on them. Now, again, he threw however many interceptions in that game, but still, that's 58 points when Notre Dame couldn't even score, you know, more than that against Duke or Ohio State. So what does that tell you? That defense is marshmallows. Let's go on it.
Right. And I will say, when you talk about the marshmallows, the marshmallow defense of Pitt, you know, I will say that, like, I think you're right. And we don't know. We assume that Johnny Wilson is going to be available for this game, whether they use him or not. Well, it depends, because I don't think you have to for this one.
Right. Yeah. Well, I was going to say that Mike Norvell updated today and said that both Johnny, the question was around Destin Hill. And he said Destin was progressing greatly. And so he thinks he's going to be, he said his exact wording was something around like, yeah, I feel like we're going to be able to leverage them in the game and some of those other guys as well, too. So my imagination is that Johnny will be available. Whether or not they use him, we'll see.
Right. And I think it's going to be important, because which you can win without Johnny Wilson, but
right.
you have him. I mean, you feel like it's going to be kind of an unstoppable thing
field
here.
More. Yep.
Right. And when you talk about Pitt, I think this might be a game that Florida State does struggle to run the ball a little bit in. Of course, it'd be nice to see Jordan use his legs just enough to make the defense respect you, kind of like he did in Wake Forest. You don't have to run heavy, just enough to throw him off. But when you look at that run defense, they do get a little bit of a bump in their numbers by holding Wofford, who again is an 0-8 FCS team, to negative 1 yard rushing. Like, that is that's kind of an unreal stat. And when you factor that in, it's going to make your numbers look better. But they also gave up 216 yards on the ground to Cincy. But other than that, they've held some teams. West Virginia only 3 yards per carry. UNC only 2 yards per carry. Virginia Tech ran the ball 59 times.
Oh my gosh.
They did put up 199 yards, but only 3.4 yards per carry.
Yeah.
Wake Forest 4.2 and Notre Dame 4.7. So you may struggle a little bit, but when you talk about the yardage that they've given up, Cincy put up 371. You know, UNC put up 373, Virginia Tech put up 427, and UL put up 430. So you're going to be able to move the ball on them. Like we said, Louisville threw for 350 passing yards. Jordan has, I mean, he's accounted for over 700 all-purpose yards in the last two games. So, again, I mean, this is one that you want to predict Florida State to just steamroll them. And before we get into our score predictions and keys to the game here, I will just also mention that they are 60% on their field goal. So that could be something to look out for too. Yep. But this is one where you feel like you just want to predict Florida State to go in there and run them over. And that's what they should do. But that's anytime you have a conference game late in the season on the road, you know, you fear the Boston College type situation, but you do look at, you know, Florida State, as much as we always kind of have that thorn in our side to bring up, Florida State has dominated their last four teams. They are really starting to hit that midseason form. Yep. And so I don't think, unless some miraculous rally by Pitt after the comments, like, and that seems like the least intelligent thing you would want to rally about. A guy tells you you're stuck, and then all of a sudden you want to play hard for him. That just seems weird. But barring that, or just some kind of like insane game where Florida State has a lot of turnovers or penalties or something like that, I just don't see Pitt winning this game. So I really don't even think that we have to go into the how does Pitt win this game, because I really do think when you talk about it, it's just going to have to be the same thing we said for Wake. They're going to have to have Florida State basically hand them this game on a silver platter, because other than that, I don't see Florida State losing this one.
Yeah, absolutely. I really don't. I think Florida State, again, if they come out and they just play their, I would love for them to play an A-plus game, but if they just play their B-plus game, if they just do what's in front of them, they take what the defense give them, they don't try to get too crazy on defense, they keep everything in front of them, they stop the run, they make the Villars passing just a miserable day, they should this game should be over again by halftime.
Man, it's crazy what 2017 through 2021 did to us.
It's messed us up.
We should literally be like, Florida State's going to go in there and beat them 63-7. But we're like, I don't know. And, you know, we talked about this last week. I feel like the better Florida State gets, the quieter I get, the less confident I get, because I'm so nervous that something's going to happen. Like, if we were 5-3, I'd be like, yeah, we're going to beat them by 50. But, you know, there's so much on the line right now and in every game. And I will say that, like, when you talk about a score prediction, as we get ready to head into that part of the show, I think there's two mindsets you got to take here. So Florida State is obviously coming in at number 4 in the playoff rankings. Right. They are in the conversation. So you have to now keep that mindset that it is a potentially 15 game season where you don't, if you're up 38-3 in the, you know, after the opening drive of the third quarter, you don't need to put your starters in this game. You need to make sure they are healthy going forward. That is more important than winning this game by 30 or 50. At the same time, like we talked about in the opening of the show, you kind of need some style points now, because you bring up a good point. Like, what if Washington beats USC by 20 points and then you beat them, you be a 2-6 Pitt team by 17 or something like that. Right. Like, that's not going to look good for you. So I will say that I think Norvell knows you need the style points, especially against a 2-6 team. I think he's going to want to run that up a little bit. But I also think that you got to kind of get your starters out a little bit. But this is still a game where I feel like Florida State should, even if they say don't pour it on or maybe give up a little bit in garbage time, I still think you're safe to cover the spread here.
Yeah, I think they're safe to cover the spread. I think what you don't want is you don't want the spread to be covered, but like, it took them forever to get there. Like, you don't want this to be a game. you don't want this to look like Duke, right? Where you're in the fourth quarter, it's a close game. Either you're down by three, up by three, and then you go on a run to blow them out. Well, the committee will just say, well, like, but Pitt was in the control of that game for three quarters of the game. And so really, right, it's a wash, right? We don't get credit for it. Yep. You want this game over at halftime. You want this game. You want to be 31-7, you know, 31-3, 35-3, 35-0, somewhere around that range at halftime. That way, when you go into that third and fourth quarter, yes, you're playing. I mean, well, we're playing backups, you know, throughout the whole game. So, but that you get into that second half and it's literally like, okay, now that we have the win in our sights, let's dominate. Now everything is about domination, right? Get this game over with by halftime. Be smart with the ball. You know, don't turn it over. Don't make stupid decisions. Don't do stuff that is outside what you're being asked to do. Do exactly what you're being asked to do. You know, Jordan, you know, take what the defense is giving you. If the deep ball is not there, but the underneath there, let's take it. Let's get it. We will wear this team out. The more we can put our foot on the throat of this team, they will quit. They will quit. They will quit. I said that three times because I'm trying to emphasize they are on the brink of quitting. Let's make them quit.
Right. And that's a great point, because if you are facing the number four team at home and, you know, you just had everything that happened last week with Notre Dame and the comments and all that stuff, and Florida State, say you come out and you have a Virginia Tech type of first quarter, you're up 22 to nothing.
Yeah.
You know, that team, they're probably going to fold. They're probably going to pack it in for today. And that could lead you to really blowing things wide open here and having that Notre Dame type of blowout. Now, again, I think, like you said, it just comes down to don't do more than you have to. Don't try to play hero ball, because this is a game that you should win. You have a talent advantage. I feel like you have a coaching advantage. You have all these advantages in this game. You just got to go up there and do what is necessary. This is the definition of a business trip.
Yes,
you
it
go
is.
Go up there, absolutely, you handle your business, you get out of there, and you look forward to a big rivalry game next week. But again, it's one at a time, because this is a huge game. You know, we talked about this in the opening. You win this game and stamp your ticket to Charlotte. You are in there for the first time since 2014. I refuse to buy my ticket before we win on Saturday, but like I've already been shopping around for some things. So, you know, this is important. And again, you, like we talked about in the CFP rankings reaction show, if Florida State does not go undefeated, they are not going to make the playoffs.
Nope.
Point blank. Cause you're already at number four. You already have a couple of really good teams behind you, and you got to win. So every game now becomes a de facto national championship type game if you want to reach your goal. So, and it all starts here. So, Michael, now that we've laid the stage, we've set the stage here, Florida State should come in and win this game. It's going to be a little bit cold. It's going to be on the road. There's a big rivalry game next week that maybe Florida State could get caught looking ahead to. They really haven't done that this season. So I think the BC game being ahead of Clemson was something completely different. You know, that was the flu and the red band. That's a different situation. Yeah. I think they looked ahead to Clemson a little bit. I'm hoping they don't do that, because Miami's not what Clemson was at the time.
Right.
But I think they should still be able to handle their business knowing all those things. So with that being said, I was running late trying to do the CFP article and everything for this one. So I'm shooting from the hip again on my score prediction here. I'm kind of doing some math in my head. So I'm going to let you take the lead on your score prediction. Go ahead and let me know how you see this one playing out. You can give me some keys to the game. I know you already mentioned some there, but you can kind of give me what you got as how this one's going to shake out and what the score is.
Yeah. Florida State comes into the game, you know, obviously, 14 straight games of scoring 13 more points. They're going to make this 15, guarantee you. If they come into the game and they play exactly how they're supposed to, they show up, they care about getting this win. They're not thinking about any other team that's going to come up and play, that this is a strictly, as you said, a business trip. Florida State should have this game in hand by halftime. I'm actually very confident in this game, and I'm calling for a 45-10 win.
It's funny, like we must have. I think the more episodes we do, the more we're getting on the same page.
Yes,
here.
Yes.
So it's funny because, like, and if you guys, you know, like giving away any secret sauce here, we do usually spend a few minutes before the show talking and things like that, but we don't share score predictions or anything like that. That is completely a surprise to each other. And what I did is, as I'm doing the math in my head, I'm just looking and I'm like, okay, well, you know, they UNC put up 41 on them. Virginia Tech put up 38 on them. They're, you know, looking at some of their scoring here. Notre Dame put up 58, but there were some fluky things in there. Like you said, if Florida State comes in interested in this game, they come in like, all right, you want to rank us number four?
Right.
I got something for you.
We got number four for you.
Exactly. So, you know, I think that Florida State should come in and win this game. As long as they just play, they don't make any mistakes, they don't give Pitt a reason to hang around. I had 45 to 10 too. That, that was where I was at. Like,
I kind of
like, I wanted to say something like, you know, maybe because you saw Notre Dame score 58. So I thought maybe 51-7 type of game there. But Florida State, you know, they've only scored over 50 points against Southern Miss.
Right.
And this is a better defense than than offense. So I could see that unless you get like maybe a defensive score or something like that. Maybe they don't hit the 50-point mark, but I'm pretty confident in them getting 45.
Yep.
And then I think when you look at them getting 10 points, a lot of this also depends on the garbage time factor. But I think it's going to be about 45 to 10 too, which to me is good enough. That is plenty good enough. You cover the spread. I think it looks like you handled a road conference opponent like you were supposed to. And I think that's enough to keep you at number four next week.
Well, and I say that. I say the 45-10 is because, like, you might say, well, the crowd might be into it because it's the fourth rank. But here's the thing. Number 14, Louisville came to Pitt. And I saw the crowd. It was so sparse. It was not even funny. I mean, they had all their student section. It was raining. It was a very, like, druggy game. And they end up winning that game, obviously. But I don't. If they aren't showing up for number 14, Louisville, coming into to their stadium, I imagine that maybe a bump will come to see Florida State in the number four team. You know, I think the weather is going to be a little bit of a factor, just in the sense of, like, it'll just take the players a drive or two to get used to, like, the cold or whatever. Or maybe it won't. You know, Mike Norvell is a mentalist, and I'm sure he'll have those guys ready to go, just itching to just get on the field to dominate this marshmallow defense.
Right. He's probably going to turn the air conditioning on in the But while you were saying that, I went back and looked. And I mean, you're talking about their last two games have averaged under their last two home games have averaged under 50,000, around 45 and 46,000. So that's not anything that, you know, you already played in front of 80 plus thousand at Clemson this year. So I don't think that the crowd will be a difference. I mean, again, you're talking about a 2-6 team playing the number four team in the country. Like, I'm sure a lot of the Florida State fans that live in the Northeast are really excited to get to go see this one.
Yeah.
But I don't think a lot of the Pitt fans are going to be really excited to see this game on Saturday. So, yeah, man, I just think, like I said, as long as, you know, we both agree, as long as you just go up there and do what you're supposed to do. And Florida State has done that. Like, they have done that since that BC game. They have really kind of turned things around. Of course, Clemson wasn't a great game, but you still got to win in a tough environment. But, man, after that, those last four games, they have just wiped the floor with some inferior ACC opponents. And this is probably the worst one of all the ones that you've played.
Yeah.
So I like them to get it done this week. But, yes, yeah, man. I'm just excited for another opportunity for Florida State to go out and showcase their ability in this season. As we get, man, we're winding down quick. Like, it is going by fast, but it's the, you know, normally you get sad the football season's coming to a close, but this one's actually kind of exciting because now we have postseason.
Well, there's like a crescendo. Yeah. There's like a crescendo with postseason. Like, oh man, like, we've been bowl eligible for 3 weeks now. This is weird.
I know.
And so, yeah,
it's hard to imagine being like, please just let the season end for as an FSU fan. But, you know, now it's like think about, you got so many, you got Miami coming up, you got Florida coming up, you got, of course, you got to win some games in between there.
Yes.
You got potentially the ACC championship and the post game. So the later in the season we get, the more exciting it becomes as an FSU fan. And I'm just thankful to be back in this conversation, and hopefully Florida State locks in that trip to Charlotte this weekend. So we will be back with a post-game show this week, guys. I apologize we couldn't get it done last week. Most of you guys know both of us still work full-time, and so I have a very short window to get some of them things done. But I am off this weekend, so we will be teaming up to talk about, hopefully, a big win at Pitt and a now-booked trip to Charlotte. So with that being said, guys, check back for that, and we will see you on the other side. So as always, guys, thanks for tuning in, and go Noles.